Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. I'm sitting here with Lindsay Havens.
Hello.
And Jason Lipschutz.
What's up?
And welcome to the first Must Hear Music Podcast of 2019. And
sure is.
First Must Hear Music Podcast in Billboard's shiny new office in Times Square, unfortunately. But you know what? We're dealing with it. It's a lovely office in a, you know, Blade Runner-esque hellscape. But we do what we can. But anyways, yeah. So how was your guys' breaks? Respective
feels
breaks.
Like a lifetime ago.
Yeah,
it was.
I went to London.
Oh yeah,
cool. Nice.
Yeah,
get some British brekkie.
Oh yeah, bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash is delicious. Do you get any Bubble and Squeak?
I did not.
God, what is up with these names?
Bubble and Squeak is. Just
Let's just
like...
start making up British sounding names.
That's a legit thing. Though. Anyways, Lindsay, did you do anything fun?
Yeah.
Thanks. Don't elaborate.
Did some
that
things.
Would be great.
I got sick.
Wow.
Sounds like you had a really good time there.
Yeah. I lived it up, as they say. What about you?
Tell us everything.
Just some lovely family time.
Yeah, I did have family time.
And that's great. That's always a plus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of songs that are number one on the Hot 100, I went and saw Into the Spider-Verse. Which, at first when I saw the name, I was like, that movie looks dumb.
I've heard it's great.
But honestly, it was fantastic. Yeah. It was, like, visually and, like, plot-wise, like, very clever.
I'm inventive. Just glad that Spider-Man's story is finally being told at the movie theater.
Well, actually,
I can't imagine
six different Spider-Man
any
stories.
Spider-Man movies. What's taken so long?
It's unexpectedly incredible. And it's got that sunflower in it, which we've talked about in this podcast.
Mm-hmm. It's got that sunflower.
All right, well, let's dive in to probably the biggest new release of this week, Ariana Grande's Seven Rings. She's continuing to roll out songs from, is the next album still called Thank You Next? Do we know?
I believe
so. As far as we know, yeah.
As far as we know. But so Seven Rings is out. I don't even know if it's like an interpolation of my favorite things from Sound of Music. It's basically just like
it just
the melody.
Is. Yeah.
It just like is a kind of a version of it with different lyrics. But Lindsay, why don't you...
Yeah.
What do you think about this?
So I was talking with Taylor Weatherby this morning because there's a lot happening with Ariana and her sound right now. And for people who have been, you know, following her whole career, she's just going like deeper into this hole of R&B and rap and hip hop. And for someone like Taylor, who's loved the ballads that she's been doing all along and like the soaring melodies, this is a bummer to some people, which I get, but... For me, like, the first album that hooked me was Sweetener. So I'm actually enjoying seeing her.
You were a late bloomer for
I absolutely
Ariana.
Was. But it took, like, the R&B hook for mm-hmm. me to really be a fan, I think. Something like this is exciting to me just to see her do. And we have her rapping on this, which is a first. And it's not bad. You know, like, she kind of holds her ground there. People are comparing the chorus to Pretty Boy Swag by Soulja Boy. I would like to point that out.
Yeah, and I just want to point out very quickly because, strangely enough, I wrote a big Soulja Boy profile.
Not strangely enough.
Yeah, I guess
right
that's actually okay for me. I wrote a big Soulja Boy profile like when that album came out and no one really bought that album. It was called The DeAndre Way. And that was like 2010, 2011. And I can't believe people remember Pretty Boy Swag. Like that was my big takeaway.
It was a huge song.
Pretty Boy Swag?
What?
Huge song.
I think you're thinking...
Among my peers.
I feel like you're thinking of Turn My Swag On.
I'm not. No.
You were thinking of Pretty Boy Swag?
Yes.
That was...
Oh my God, we loved that song.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never... Yeah, Joe's like,
maybe
if
it's
you
a regional
so.
Thing.
Yeah.
A very small...
Perhaps. Yeah.
Maybe
know,
just
yeah.
the Havens household was just yeah. all dancing around a Pretty Boy Swag, but outside, it
That's
was
so
not...
funny.
Did not touch the charts.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm going to look this up while you talk about Seven Rings. I'll look up Pretty Boy Swag.
So yeah, I feel like that had to be said. But for me, this is just an enjoyable song. The thing that's like most jarring though is the lyrics here. Like, we already got successful mm-hmm. on Sweetener, and that was fun because you're like, all right, like, go off, Ariana. You are successful. You got money. You got success. You got fame.
Mm-hmm.
But now again, this is like the second song where she's going even deeper into how wealthy she is,
right?
And everything that can buy her. And I feel like on paper that would really annoy me, but yet something about this, maybe because it's like to that cute little melody.
Yeah.
And it just seems fun and innocent, even though it's like the biggest brag that someone
right.
could do. And it's just interesting to me because, you know, we've gotten that before with like Beyonce and Cardi B, where they're really owning their success in a way mm-hmm. that I think you hear like male rappers do all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, for Ariana, who's emerged as a pop singer and who's also still really young, it feels new when she's doing it.
Yeah. No, it's kind of like a victory lap. I mean, I feel like her second victory lap, sure, take a second.
Take
one.
As many as you
Why
want.
Not?
Yeah.
Exactly. yeah, I think I totally agree with what you're saying. I think that the fact that it's, to Sound of Music, like, gives it a little, like, cutesy element to it that
right.
maybe, like, undercuts any kind of, like, sense of, like, you know, I don't know, elitism or whatever.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
it makes it, like, relatable and adorable.
Relatable to nothing about the song, but somehow still feels.
You know, it kind of. I mean, that's why people on Twitter are like rewriting the lyrics to like apply to their lives.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, switching in IHOP for Breakfast at Tiffany's or whatever.
Right.
Like, I think it's just very fun. I mean, this isn't like, it's not like a great artistic statement, but it's
mm-hmm.
like this is exactly like, I think what she's doing is very smart. Like, you know, she has the song out that, you know, is tearing up the charts, is still doing very well.
Yeah.
But then releasing something like this is a good way to get, like, attention and to do something differently without necessarily, like, putting the pressure on it to be, like, you know, the next single. Like, I don't think anyone is
right.
being like, is this going to be another number one for Ariana? Like, it just doesn't feel like that. Like,
she's not, like, cutting the success of Thank You Next off short.
Right, exactly. And I adore Sound of Music. I'm a huge fan. shout out to another very underrated song that interpolated Sound of Music, Gwen Stefani's Wind It Up.
I also love that song.
Which is, everyone hates that song. I fucking love it.
I love Pretty Boy Swag. I love Wind It Up.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quick update. I was kind of, I'm going to say kind of wrong about Pretty Boy Swag. Peaked at number 34 on the Hot 100.
Okay.
So
okay. Top
bigger
40
than I ever would have expected. The
yeah.
album that, again, I wrote about, The DeAndre Way, peaked at number 90 on the Billboard 200 albums
Ooh.
Chart. Yes. So that's why I didn't think
I see.
The song itself did that well, but I guess people know Pretty Boy Swag better than I thought.
Yeah,
I'm kind of with you on this, which is that the stakes are kind of so low for a song like this, and it just seems very fun and frothy and doesn't really carry that much weight. It's kind of how I felt about Imagine, which kind of came out right before Seven Rings and after Thank You Next. She's just doing her thing, and I don't think that this is like a momentous song. I think it's fun and enjoyable and probably won't linger around. I could be wrong with that, but I think Pop Justice wrote something quickly about it this morning and described it as what like Destiny's Child Independent Woman Part 1 would sound like in 2019, and I was like, yeah, that's a good take.
Take.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, mm-hmm. let's listen to it. Ariana Grande, Seven Rings, here it is.
Write my own checks like I write what I sing. My wrist, stop watching. My neck is fuzzy. Make big deposits. My gloss is popping. You like my hair? Gee, thanks. Just bought it. I see it. I like it. I want it. I got it. Yeah, I want it. I got it. I want it. I got it. I want it. I got it.
All right, that was new Ariana Grande, and that was a Lindsay pick. So, Jason, who do you want to start with from yours? And maybe, you know what? I'm not going to give you an option.
Wow.
We're going to start with James Blake featuring Andre. Where's the catch? Or what's the catch? What's the name?
Where's the catch?
Where's the catch, yeah.
Yeah, so I really like the new James Blake album. James Blake has always been an interesting guy to me who's never really... I don't want to say reached his potential, but he's never delivered like a perfect statement. I've liked all of his albums without loving them. I really like some of his early like production work where his voice wasn't so prominent. I thought that was really interesting.
Artists always love hearing that. I love the songs where I can't hear your voice.
But then he started singing more, obviously, right. On the self-titled album, and that was also effective. I thought that his second album, Overgrown, was a little bit of a step back, but the third album, which people don't seem to really like, it's also very long.
What was it called?
I think it's The Color of...
I feel like it got...
I want to say The Color of Spring, but that's like, the name of a Talk album.
And like no one remembers it, really, or talks about it.
Yeah. It was kind of like a surprise release. The Color in Anything. I was going to say The Color of Spring. That's a Talk album. Anyway, I enjoyed that album, but I feel like this one, which is kind of being billed as his, like, James Blake's in Love album. I really like it a lot. I think the best thing about it is its pacing. 12 songs. The last one was 17. 17 songs is too long for a James Blake album. These 12 songs are really effective, and you just have... A couple features, and they're all spaced out pretty evenly. You have a great Travis Scott feature, Rosalia, and then the one I picked was Andre 3000. I love this song. And maybe part of it is because I still get excited whenever Andre 3000 pops up.
Totally.
I think this is a particularly strong guest verse from him. But even the song construction and kind of like that like acoustic little lick that the song is built around, I think is really effective. And yeah, I mean, I think this is a standout, but I definitely recommend the whole album.
Yeah, I mean, I just like James Blake. I feel like I know so many people who are big James Blake fans. It just never like landed for me. There's something about it that's too, like, it is something like on paper I should like. I like music that kind of like deconstructs songs.
Yeah.
I like, you know, I love The Smiths, so I like introspective, weepy stuff. But, yeah. But something about his like song deconstruction and like his like weepiness and just like the kind of inherent like sadness, it's just kind of like dull to me.
Yeah.
That being said, I do like this song.
Okay.
And kind of for the same reasons, like having Andre 3000, like, it's so rare to get a guest verse from him. Oftentimes when you do get one, it's just like, you know, it just flits by. It's there for like 5 seconds and then gone. This is like pretty substantial.
Yep.
You know, there's some lonely piano stuff going on, but it gets pretty interesting towards the end musically. And I think maybe because, you know, he's in love, it's maybe just a little less melancholy.
Yeah, I think it's more focused. And like I said, I like the last album, but it's 17 songs. It just kind of was too sprawling.
Yeah.
And then the first two albums, you know, was a lot of experimentation. I also want to point out that I was talking about this with someone else in the office. I forget who, but I really like when James Blake releases albums like in the dead of winter because it really feels like it's James Blake's season right now.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
let's
Blake
go.
Season.
It's Blake season.
It even snowed in honor of him this morning.
I know, right?
Very briefly.
A blanket of snow.
That was so good.
What do you think? You're a fan, right?
Yeah, I love James Blake. It's really weird to me. He's one of those artists that I love, but yet I can't, like, remember song titles ever or album titles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just because a lot of what he does, like, he has such a style.
You go into a coma whenever the music starts.
Well, no. No.
Damn it, Joe.
But I haven't made my way through this whole album yet. I've only listened to the one song that Jason recommended. And yeah, I love it. My favorite part is when all of the vocal layering happens towards the end. Like, that to me is, you know, in a lot of his songs you get little moments like that where even if you tune out, which, you know, no shade to James, it can happen in one of his songs. And I think that's sometimes by design, but like then he still finds a way towards the end to sort of bring you back. And I feel like that's what that moment did.
Totally. Yeah. I agree.
Thank you.
All right, let's listen to it. It's James Blake featuring Andre 3000, Where's the Catch, from his new album, the name of which I don't remember.
Assume form.
Assume form.
Right, right, right.
All right, here it is.
We meet in the middle, we meet in the sand, and everything's ghost, everything's ghost now, everything's rose now.
All right, that was New James Blake. Next up, one of my picks, Cupcake, Squidward Knows. This song is, I think it came out about a week ago now. Mm-hmm. I've not been able to get it out of my head. I mean, first off, and very quickly, because I don't really want to linger on it, but Cupcake's going through some difficult stuff lately. So sending much love and the deepest respect to her. She is an incredible artist and human. And Squidward Knows is her new song, first song of 2019. I'm pretty sure. It's just ridiculous and fantastic. I mean, so just in case you haven't heard it, the chorus is basically her saying, his dick smaller than my toes, I'd rather ride Squidward Nose.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, incredible. Like, Squidward has that nose that inflates and deflates when he laughs. My sister has been, also this is fun for me because my sister has been deeply disturbed by Squidward's nose for a good, you know, however long, 20 years, how long SpongeBob has been on. And so sending this song to her and having her reaction come back was just utterly priceless. But it's actually a fantastic song, too. It's like, it has this great kind of, like, honking, stomping feel to it. Like, it almost sounds like an angry Squidward, like, marching up to SpongeBob's pineapple, like, ready to bitch him out. Like, it just, and it's so just, like, unabashed and hilarious. It's just, like, perfect. It's exactly what she does well, which is just be, like, raunchy and, you know, like, very sexual, but somehow make it feel not icky and just feel, like, very, like, fun and inviting. It's very sex positive and fun and funny.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with what you said to start it off, too. Like, and this is a perfect example of how necessary someone like Cupcake is. Like, no one else, you know, a lot of people are doing, like, sex positive raunchy raps, but she's just so herself in everything that she does. Like, taking someone as innocent as Squidward from SpongeBob.
As innocent.
I don't know. It's just like, you put these two things together.
As someone as asexual, certainly.
You put these two things together that have no business being put together. And it could turn a lot of people away, but somehow it's like, it's so catchy and so inviting that even if you're like a PG person all the time, you would still probably enjoy this song.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about Cupcake before on the podcast. I feel like I'm still missing something. It's strange. It's just like, I really like everything here. Like, it's funny, it's raunchy. She's like a great rapper, just in terms of her like mechanics and in terms of her flow. It feels like it's starting to be a little bit of a retread. And look, obviously her career is she's very earlier in her career, but I feel like I've heard this before, not specifically about Squidward's nose or any other appendage, but I feel like, you know, like from Duck Duck Goose and, you know, a lot of her album that she put out this time last year, like there's a lot, there's not really building on anything.
I could get one of these a year and be completely.
I guess that's.
Because it's just like a niche that's not being filled.
I totally get it. But I think I've said before on this podcast too, there are certain artists where I'm totally okay if they don't like do something entirely different.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the case of her, like, I don't want her. I mean, I'm curious to see what else she could do, but I love what she is already doing that I'm okay with just getting more of the same with her.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something lacking for me, but I'm glad you guys are
we're standing for Squidward.
Yeah.
I didn't like SpongeBob, but.
What?
Really?
Disney kid.
I mean, you can like both.
Nope.
Yeah.
SpongeBob is so good. It's so
it was
funny.
One or the other for me.
So who was the Disney jam?
Well, this doesn't even really apply because I would say Phineas and Ferb, but that came out when I was like already, like 19. So, I don't know. I'll come back to that.
All right. Think about it. We didn't have the Disney Channel.
What's your favorite
channel?
Disney? Can't name one.
Yeah.
Well, I like their original movies more than their their programming.
You're more of a cinema.
Indeed.
Person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you a high school
woman of film?
Were you a High School Musical fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I loved High School Musical.
Yeah. Same.
It's really fun.
I was in a high school, no, a middle school musical.
Wow.
Enough nice. About me.
Honestly, yes. All right, well, let's listen to it. Cupcake, Squidward Knows. If you have kids near you, cover their ears, I guess.
His dick's smaller than my toes. Yeah, yeah, smaller than my toes. His dick's smaller than my toes. I read the rap Squidward Knows. My eyelash flew off when I saw that dick was too soft.
What the fuck?
Need a dick like Rick Ross? Or Dora the Explorer, get lost? Get in my zone, I'm ass naked at home. He knowing just what I'm on.
All right, that was New Cupcake. Next up, let's do... What should we do? Lindsay, what was your other pick?
Maggie Rogers.
Right. Yeah. Let's talk about Maggie Rogers. So, Say It is the song you picked from her new album that's out today, I believe.
Yeah, I'm such a big fan of this album. She was our beat opener not too long ago. And one of the things, well, so I'll give a little background and then I'll get into that. This is her proper debut album. She put out an EP last year, which included her hit Alaska, which is both, it's on this album too. So we all love Alaska and we're going
to
get it forever.
Yeah.
My favorite song off this is still Light On. It's like such a powerhouse of a song. But I chose Say It because it surprised me, like the pop direction that she took on it. Mm-hmm. And then I was looking up, it was actually produced by both Maggie and Ricky Reed, who's worked with Halsey, Jason Derulo. Yeah. So it makes perfect sense then when you hear that. But I think that the way they both balanced what they do best is like my favorite part. So you start off, she's really powerful, just her voice, pretty sparse production. And then as it builds, you sort of get that like more poppy production and that energy to it. Like at the end, she even sort of does like the Ariana little like,
yeah.
If I did it, it would be a squeal, but when someone like Maggie and Ariana, when they do it, it's like a beautiful breath of air that they somehow sing out. I don't know the proper term.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's a word in German for it.
Perhaps. So she has a little bit of that, which I think it was fun for her to do that. And then at the end, it goes back to how she started it off, like strips it down again.
Right. The more traditional Maggie Rogers.
Indeed,
sound.
The Maggie we know and love. But yeah, I thought this was a fun one to highlight that hadn't been previously released.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of similarly surprised by, you know, because like, as you said, it starts out sort of, you know, kind of the like cool electronic bloops that we've heard from her, you know, like a pop, but kind of like cool melancholy. But yeah, and then by the chorus, it reminded me a lot of like something you might hear, like a chorus from like 90s R&B pop radio.
Yeah.
Yes.
In a great way. And I think that's a good, I mean, I'm not saying like I want all Maggie Rogers to sound like this, but I think the fact that she can comfortably deliver that on this album is really impressive and like bodes well for her future. And I'm definitely into it. Yeah, I like it.
I really like, I came into this album, I listened to the first half of the album pretty skeptically, you know, but I really like, and part of it was just because I like trolling you, Lindsay, and it's just, you know, and I know you're a big Maggie Rogers fan. This is very good. Like, it's a very accomplished pop album. I was thinking about how I'm glad she took her time to get this album right, because she could have just, after Alaska came out, just kind of rushed out, like, either an EP or like a couple songs. And
like
I know
3 years ago, right? When Alaska.
Two or three, yeah, somewhere around there.
I think three.
But no, this is very accomplished and she sounds very confident. And yeah, I mean, I think Say It is really good, but I think, you know, I'm interested to hear the back half of the album because the first half is really strong. And I like how Alaska is like the fourth song because you kind of get those first three songs. I really like The Knife is a really good song.
I love The Knife, too.
You kind of get this new sense of where she's at, but then it goes back to, like, what I still consider her best song. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I haven't listened to it, but the full thing, but I'm excited to take a trip to Maggie Rogers' neighborhood.
You know what's weird about the Maggie Rogers album? you know what's weird about the Maggie Rogers album? I haven't listened to it because it's like the next to last song, but there's also a song called Squidward Knows. Did you know that?
That's fun.
Yeah, I know. That's funny. I didn't see that coming.
Is the chorus similar? Or
I don't know. I don't know. We'll have TBD, I guess.
Hot new trend, naming songs after Squidward.
New office, same jokes.
Yeah. Ouch.
Wow.
All right, let's listen to it. Maggie Rogers, Say It. Here it is.
I cannot fall in love with you.
All right, that was new Maggie Rogers from her debut album, which is called another thing I didn't write down. Do you remember what it's called?
Yes. Past Life.
Great.
That took me.
There we go.
Or heard it in a past life, perhaps.
Okay. Something like that. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. You've got Google. You can. You guys have Bing. You can look it up.
Ask Jeeves.
It's on GeoCity somewhere. I don't know. Anyways, all right. What was the other Jason pick?
You know what the other Jason pick was. Let's go.
Sigrid.
Sigrid.
Don't feel like crying. So Scandinavia. Classic Jason, Scandinavian pop.
Yeah, look, I'm in the tank for Sigrid. She could drop whatever type of song. I'll be like, this is great. But last year, so 2 years ago, 2017, she put out Don't Kill My Vibe. Which I thought was one of the best singles of the year. Last year, she dropped a couple more songs. They were good, but not amazing. And also, she didn't really have that kind of U.S. Footprint established. She still doesn't, but she has an album coming out, I believe, in March. Mm-hmm. And Don't Feel Like Crying is, I think, her starting the year off on a really strong foot. Again, it's just really hard with like these indie pop artists to see if they'll ever like cross over in a real way. But I just, again, like, the thing with me is that her command of melody is just so impressive. And this is another one of those songs like Don't Kill My Vibe, where you just have these like, it's built around like 7 or 8 different strong melodies. Mm-hmm. And I'm just always like really astounded when she can do that so effortlessly. You know, if you like what she's done in the past, you'll like this. If you don't, you probably won't. But I just think she keeps killing it in this particular lane. So, Sigrid forever.
Over and out.
Wow.
I think actually this, I mean, I've, you know, as you like to troll Lindsay, I like to troll you about your of course, yeah. fixation. This actually, I would say I'm impressed in that it is sort of like her, it's a little out of her like alt pop lane. Like it's, to me, this is a little more like pure pop, like Carly Rae Jepsen type thing, which I'm obviously very for. You know, the strings are a little Call Me Maybe reminiscent. So I could see this even being maybe making a bit more headway than she has in the past. I like it. It's catchy. I'm not like in love with it, but I dig it. And what do you think, Lindsay?
I see it soundtracking. You know that scene in like every teen movie where the girl is like crying, but then she's dancing in her bedroom alone or something, like that turning point.
I don't know that scene, but I'll take your word for it. Crying and dancing in her bedroom alone?
Well, it's usually followed by.
Okay.
Anyway, I think I could see the song soundtracking that exact moment.
Okay.
But less specific. I do like this. I know you're the biggest fan of her. I'm a little bit slower to come around. But I think this album could do it for me. The music that I've heard so far at GovBall last year, she had a huge crowd to the point where I was like wondering who had drawn such a crowd.
It was me.
It was all
Jason. It was all me, just shepherding people over.
But how you say command of melody, I also like she has really good vocal control when she sings No. She goes through like so many different layers of tone within that. So that was really grabbing to me. And then I also just love like the theme behind it. Like when something hasn't hit you yet, you don't want to cry yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Fun little addendum. So I don't know if anyone saw Vox Lux. Bizarre movie.
I have not. No.
I really enjoyed it.
I forgot to finish it, but I did start
tentatively
watching it.
Recommend it. It's certainly not for everyone. But I learned something from it, actually, which was apparently the reason Sweden, although is Sigrid Norwegian?
Yeah.
But whatever. The reason that region in general is like so, like, I guess just, you know, musically impressive, you know, like delivers so much, you know, like perfect pop and, you know, like has all the hit-making writers and producers is that close to 100 years ago, they like, maybe not that long ago, but they were basically like, oh, we don't want our kids to be just like brainwashed by American media. So we're going to like kind of shut them off to like American Western pop and like put a bunch of instruments in all their schools and teach everyone to be proficient and make their own music. And that's kind of what's continued to this day, basically.
Interesting.
That was very fascinating.
That is interesting. I want to see Vox Lux. I've heard it's not very good, but I will.
Natalie Portman's incredible. She's so good. I love her anyways, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
We'll have things to talk about. All right, let's listen to it. So Sigrid, I don't know.
Sure.
Whatever. Don't feel like crying.
Squidward?
Squidward's Don't Feel Like Crying.
No!
All right, that was the latest song from Sigrid. Next and last, this is my pick, Sir Baby Girl. Everyone is a bad friend.
Yeah.
So Sir Baby Girl is this pretty new artist. I'm pretty sure her last song, or not last song, her first song just came out last year. And this is her first of 2019. It's called Everyone is a Bad Friend. It's just like, I'm like flabbergasted by her. I think she's like, her sound is really fresh and incredible. There's a lot of like, well, anyways, I'll just describe the song. So it's kind of, it starts out with this very, like, pleasantly disorienting guitar loop. It's spacey, but there's also, like, kind of like a clapping beat that, like, keeps it along. And, you know, it starts out, you're listening to it, and you're like, okay, this is cool. It's kind of like this lo-fi alt-pop. But then at the end, like, she, by the end, her vocals go from kind of that, like, lo-fi, like, I recorded this in my, you know, apartment feeling to this very impressive, like, vocal control. Which is, you know, there's just, like, not a lot of people who can do that, who, like, can, like, kind of own that sort of, like, bedroom pop as well as be a really proficient vocalist. And her lyrics are fantastic, too. I forget what, did I write
it down? I forgot them all, but.
I forgot them all, but they're, no, I wrote it down. Where did I put it? But just, like, like, one of them is Everyone I Meet Takes Me on a Date, and then another is, like, Everyone I Meet I Think Is Gonna Die But I'll Never Know For Sure, which is just like incredible. That's like a very off-kilter funny way of like wording, you know,
totally
things. And yeah, and I've, you know, some of her past songs have remarkable lyrics too. Heels is one from last year that was a very vague breakthrough for her, you know, in terms of like blogosphere. And that was similarly inventive, you know, like had good vocals but also had some kind of screaming on it. She's just really, really interesting to me.
I don't really have much. Great pop single. It's just a really strong. I was unfamiliar, and I'm glad I'm not anymore.
Yeah, I'm hoping big things.
I found it interesting. There's a lot going on where like I would almost describe it as lo-fi at points, but then at the same time, it is like a very well-crafted pop song.
Yeah,
and with an acoustic guitar sort of like underlying the beat.
Mm-hmm.
So like the way she was putting all of that together was, it felt different to me. This was also my introduction to her. I'm predicting a 2019 trend. This has been going on for a long time. But Sir Baby Girl, and we have Ava Max, and her whole thing is that Ava felt too feminine, so she wanted a male name in there, too. I feel like we're getting these,
ooh,
like,
we need a third one, and that's
I know,
a trend.
We need a third one, and then we can write about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and that's very intentional for Sir Baby Girl, because she's non-binary and bisexual, so.
I imagine, yes. Yeah. True. So I think it's cool that, you know, we're getting these artists who don't want their gender to be what identifies their music.
Right. Yes.
So cool. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. Sir Baby Girl, Everyone Is a Bad Friend. Here it is.
Everyone I meet gives me great advice. Always prints it out. Always sounds real nice. Everyone I meet gives me great advice. But I never give them mine. Everyone I meet, I think is gonna die. So we shake our heads.
All right, that was Sir Baby Girl, Everyone Is a Bad Friend. And that's all we got for this pod. But, you know, it's just the top of the year. Any music coming up that we're excited about?
Ariana's album.
Of course, the Ariana album. Presumably, fingers crossed, a Rihanna album.
Yeah. Sharon Van Etten came out today, too, which
I have to get around to listening to that. I need to dive into
that. It's such a good
that.
Album that, sorry, Sharon, should have picked
it. We visited last week. Yeah, no, I love her. She's a really remarkable songwriter.
It's my favorite album of hers.
What, the new one is?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, now I'm very excited to listen. I was going to listen to Maggie Rogers, but sorry, Megs. I'm going for Sharon next.
So I'm most excited about the album that could definitively unite the three of us.
Oh, whoa.
The St. Vincent produced Sleater-Kinney album.
Oh, my
Easy.
God. Yeah.
Now, you two are huge St. Vincent fans.
Huge.
I am not.
I honestly might be a bigger Sleater-Kinney fan than St.
Really?
Vincent.
Sleater-Kinney is one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that.
Two icons supporting icons, honestly. Legends standing
legends. It's just
going to
be insanity.
Legends standing legends. Yeah, I think that actually is probably my number one.
I think that's a good call. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited for the Carly Rae will have some new music, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say much else, but I'm very excited for Mark Ronson's new project.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's a little tease for you out there.
Yeah.
In podcast land.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways.
We're down here.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Anything 2019 that you've been digging so far, tweet it at us. And we will be back next week now that we are back from our break/office move.
Wow.
So, Lindsay, Jason, thanks for popping in.
Mm-hmm.
And we will thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.